are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Friday edition of the program, getting ready for Week 16 Bears and 49ers. My guest today is Ryan Covey. He is the host of KNBR Tonight, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily on KNBR 680. He also does 49ers pregame, and he grew up a Bears fan. So we're going to talk more Niners, Bears today, get into some 49ers outlook, short-term, long-term, talk about the Bears. We might talk a little fantasy football because I am in a fantasy league with Ryan. Both of us now out of the playoffs officially. And before we bring Ryan on the show, I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We are on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere that you can find podcasts, as are all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can always email the show, LockedOn49ers at Gmail. Head on over to the Facebook, the Instagram pages, and all of that stuff. And we are very close to that 1 million listener mark, and I will be announcing officially that jersey giveaway. A big thank you to everyone out there who has been listening to the show. We are rapidly approaching that 1 million download mark for the year. So I'll let everybody know probably next week the official time and place and where and when on how to enter that jersey giveaway contest to celebrate hitting nine figures. And we might actually hit that after today's podcast with my guest, Ryan Covey. So let's get to that conversation. My guest today is Ryan Covey. You know him from his program, KNBR Tonight, airing 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the sports leader, KNBR 680 in San Francisco. You've probably heard me a time or two at 11 p.m. on Friday nights with Mr. Covey talking 49ers football. Ryan, always a pleasure.
Yeah, always, Brian. And let me start by thanking you for coming on. We always get a nice reaction when you come on, and you're very gracious. So it's my honor to return the favor. And seriously, on behalf of me and my show, thank you for your time all year. Great insight, as always.
Oh, yeah, it's always fun. It's fun. It's easy to chat it up with you. I think it's easy to go long. I always go long on this podcast, and I think that'll be very easy today. So I'm going to try to keep it short and keep it in that 25 to 30 minute range that my boss, David Locke, likes us to keep it. But I tend to go over a lot. So I got to watch the clock with you. I know that.
Oh, man, I haven't hit a break on time in a year and a half, Peacock. Like, it's all good. That means we never run out of stuff to say, which is kind of why we got into this line of work.
That's right. You're no Ralph Barbieri, though.
Nor, God bless Ralph, but nor would I want to be.
That guy was
Ralph. Just a quick Ralph Barbieri. I got to know him for a few years. I've been at KNBR since 2010. Ralph Barbieri, great man, and I learned a lot from him.
Oh, absolutely. I loved working with Ralph, and the Ralph and Tom show is still, I think, one of the best shows that's ever been around in the Bay Area, 100%. Talking about sports. 100%. And working on that show, and just, he was kind of weird, but that was what made him so great. And yeah,
they, part of the charm.
Those guys went long every single time. It, like, never hit breaks, but it was awesome.
Because they were doing their thing, man, killing the game. And, you know, I could only hope to have a flicker of the career that Tolbert and Ralph were able to put together for all those years. Tommy's still doing it, and I know Ralph's doing all right. Tate's getting big, so life's good for him. Hey, dude, life's good for Nick Mullins. I mean, I've been doing the Murph and Max show all week, and fans are feeling this guy. I heard the notion kicked around, is there going to be an open competition when the year opens if Nick Mullins plays the last 2 weeks strong? 49ers fans loving them some Nicky Mullins.
Yeah, absolutely. It went from, is he the third string guy to, okay, is he going to have a battle as the backup quarterback? And people are like, let's just trade Garoppolo and keep Mullins because he's cheaper. And it's like, okay, slow down on that. But no, it's been amazing to see that run, that the second year in a row now the 49ers going to run sort of at the end of the season. And I don't think it looks quite like, because I think actually you asked me on the show last week about that and the idea that, you know, Mullins is as good as Garoppolo. And, you know, as good as Mullins has played, and he's put up some numbers and the statistics look great, but at the same time, it's like there was a different vibe and a different feel to when Garoppolo showed up last year and how good everyone played across the board, and was like, what the hell just happened? This is not the same football team. It's not quite at that extreme with Mullins this year. Do you agree?
Yeah, and is it maybe partly because Jimmy was the first to spring on the scene like that and because he's so gosh darn handsome? Does that have anything to do with it? I mean, he just looks like a franchise quarterback. Nick Mullins, you know, looks like the guy that, you know, maybe is like checking your groceries down at Safeway, you know, just a nice affable guy, where Jimmy Garoppolo, he's got that look, man. And also the fact that, you know, he did it last year and, you know, gave 49ers fans something to be so excited about. I mean, hell, Jimmy Garoppolo, it blew my mind when I heard this. I mean, the guy started 10 games in the NFL. I mean, it's crazy if you think about it. He's got a lot of money for a guy with 10 starts under his belt.
It's nuts. He's got he doesn't have the most pass attempts on the 49ers right now. That goes to C.J. Beathard, and Nick Mullins is getting pretty close too. Basically, all three of those guys going into next year will have a very similar amount of NFL playing time, which is hard to believe because one of those guys has got a five-year, $130 million contract.
Yeah. Stats similar, bank accounts very unsimilar. And, you know, for Jimmy, if Nick Mullins finishes the year strong and they even just play well in these last 2 weeks, fans are going to want to see Jimmy G earn that. And, you know, the 49ers, of course, will want him to be that guy. They've invested a lot in him, but you know, you can't undersell what Nick Mullins has done, and winning trumps everything, especially when you haven't been doing a whole hell of a lot of that the last few years.
Yeah, and the most popular guy in town is always the backup quarterback if the starter struggles at all. And so that's going to be an interesting one going forward, just to see what kind of value maybe Nick Mullins has to other teams. I doubt teams are going to pay anything for Nick Mullins in the offseason if the 49ers did make him available. They're going to want to pay backup money, and at that point I think he's more valuable to the 49ers.
Totally agree, especially with Garoppolo coming off an injury. I hope they don't entertain the idea. Mm-hmm. As you can see, sometimes you need two, sometimes you need three quarterbacks to get through a season. Like, I don't know, the 49ers this year. So right. That's life in the NFL. We understand that.
Yeah, and knowing when your quarterback goes down that you have that contingency plan. And next year, if Garoppolo, say, was to go down in week three, you don't feel like the season's over like you did this year now that we've seen Mullins and he's had a chance to develop and play a little football. So I think that's important. So when it comes to the Bears 49ers this weekend, and I wanted to have you on. I know you're a Bears guy, and you talk about the 49ers all the time on KNBR, so you're well-versed in both of these teams. But before we even get into that, we were talking before you came on here about the Parabolic Mics. You're going to be on the field level with you and your pops, if I'm not mistaken, with the Parabs, with the microphones. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so shout out Mike Holler, who, of course, produces the broadcast for KNBR. And when you hear Ted and Tim Ryan on the calls on KNBR, you hear that great field level stuff. That's the mics. That's the Parabolic Mics. And that duty needs to be filled by two eager recruits every week. And it's actually a job that they don't pay you for. The pay is you get to be on the sideline for an NFL game. I work on the pregame show, so I'm doing all right going down there anyway. And last time I checked, my old man wasn't hurting for cash either. This is more of just something to go and have a great time and being at field level. And I've done this a couple of times, Brian. I've done it in Chicago for a couple of years, once in the snow. Remember that 49ers-Bears game in the snow?
Yeah,
a couple years back.
Wind.
And then the game where they hit the bomb in overtime to beat the Bears when Robbie Gould missed a kick. Blaine Gabbert hooked up with Torrey Smith in overtime. That game I did the Parabolic Mic for. And then last year, the 49ers-Seahawks game at Levi's Stadium, which ended up being Jimmy Garoppolo's debut. I was on the sideline for that game as well. So I've seen some pretty cool stuff up close and personal. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, my dad, being from Chicago, is why I'm a Bears fan. So we had this game circled. I asked Mike a while ago. I said, hey, when the Bears come to town, I'd love to be able to do it with my dad. He said, no problem. And now it's all happening. And my pops, being the meticulous planner that he is, he's like, you know, asking me all these questions. I'm like, Dad, they strap the thing to you, and, like, you just stand there and make sure you don't get run over and, like, make sure that it's turned on. Otherwise, it's a pretty easy job. But that's it, man, and it'll be a lot of fun. And, hey, we're going to see a pretty good football team too. I mean, you know, the Bears locked up the North last week. They beat the Packers, you know, a team that had come back and beaten them week one. They've got an all-world defense, of course, led by Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd and Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith. And they're deep, and they got Vic Fangio. And, of course, 49ers fans are very familiar with him. And this is a dangerous Chicago Bears team. And I just get the feeling, Brian, and this isn't because I'm a Bears fan. It's because I know teams peaking at the right time in December that have a dangerous defense have a tendency to make life very uncomfortable for teams in the playoffs. Think about the job they did on the L.A. Rams a couple of weeks ago. Jared Goff threw four picks in that game. So this could be a Bears team under a rookie head coach peaking at the right time. And if Mitchell Trubisky can hold it together, this team could go a long way.
Okay, I got to get to some of that you just mentioned, where Mitch Trubisky's at, where Bears fans' heads are at right now going into the postseason. But first, we got to take a quick break. Be right back here with Ryan Covey on Locked On 49ers. First of all, with the Bears winning the NFC North, I get the feeling with just the Bears fan base, and I think you're probably plugged into that and how that vibe is. There's a little bit to me where it's like, oh man, we finally got over the hump. The Bears are good again, and a kind of a happy to be there vibe instead of a let's go win a Super Bowl vibe. Is that accurate?
You know, I'm sure there's some of that. And you know what, Brian? Early in the year, I was on that train. Look, the Bears are actually winning football games. And, oh, damn, this is a pretty good defense. You know, they were 3-3 after the loss to the Patriots, but they had a 10-point lead in all three of their losses. Green Bay, Miami, and New England. Those were all games they kind of let slip away, but they were still learning how to win. Then they rip off five straight. Trubisky gets his wing banged up a little bit. They lose that game in New York. Then they bounce back with a couple of wins. They win in the division, beat up on Detroit a couple times, beat the Vikings on national television, and then had that signature win against the Rams. And since that point, since the Rams win, I think that things have shifted a little bit. And locking up the division, beating Green Bay the way they did last week, I mean, these are, you know, these are typically teams, the Packers in particular, that beat the Bears twice a year. You can just wind your watch to it. So once they beat the Rams the way they did and then backed it up, locking up the North, beating the Packers at home, and also knowing that there's an opportunity with that win over the Rams and then them struggling a bit lately, the Bears could still get a first-round bye. They need to win. If they win out and the Rams even slip up once, the Bears have the chance to do it. Now, the Rams don't play the toughest schedule in the world. It's Arizona and San Francisco, but there's still the potential that they might lose, and the Bears are playing for something. I definitely think that in the last couple of weeks, I know from my perspective and Bears fans that I talk to, it's shifted. Like, oh, wait, this could be something special. This team is pretty damn good. Yeah, they might be a year ahead of schedule, and Trubisky might be young, but this kind of defense, and we know how important defense can be in the playoffs, they've got something here. And why not just go win the Super Bowl this year? You think the Philadelphia Eagles around week 8 were thinking they were going to be Super Bowl champs? Not at all. It was week 15, week 16, week 17, and then on into the playoffs, and that's what the Bears are doing. Same thing Philly did last year, peaking at the right time, only they might even be more talented.
Can the Bears do exactly what Philly did and what a team like the Ravens have done in the past? And can Mitch Trubisky sort of at least game manage his way to a Super Bowl? Because where is he at in his development? Because I've seen games where it's like, oh, man, okay, Trubisky has arrived. And then you see games where, oh, man, you know, he took a step back a little bit. And I always talk about on this podcast how development is not a linear path, and especially with NFL quarterbacks. But it looks like he's got a good coach. He's got all the arm talent, and he's a physically impressive dude. I think he doesn't get enough credit for, you know, how good of an arm he has and being athletic, and he's got all the tools in the world. Where is he at in his development?
Well, he's like a lot of young quarterbacks. It's a little bit sporadic, and there's clearly a very talented football player there. He only started for 1 year in college at North Carolina. So, and that's not on him. That's on the Bears for drafting a quarterback that was a little inexperienced, trading up to get him. But they saw things in him. They saw some of the physical tools. They saw the natural ability that compelled them to trade up with the 49ers just one spot to make sure they were able to get him. He's had terrific games. And then he's had games where you're like, oh, well, this is a very young quarterback in a new system, young in his development. And it's almost like, you know, a teenager, like he's in the teenage years of his NFL career where he's like kind of pushing the envelope and seeing what he can get away with, like a kid will with his parents. Like he's making throws. He's seeing if he can get away with it. And he's finding out at the NFL level, oftentimes you can't. And he's got a little bit of that gunslinger mentality around him. I know we like to throw that word around, but he just goes out there and plays with an enthusiasm. He's not afraid of making a mistake. If he throws a pick, he pretty much, you know, shakes it off. And, you know, that can be a mixed bag because you want him to remember the mistakes he made, but you don't want him harping on them. And you sure as heck don't want him thinking about him when he's, you know, on the next series. You got to get over it. But the bottom line is, Brian, there is a very talented quarterback in there, but it's going to be up to Matt Nagy and ultimately Mitchell Trubisky himself to utilize that potential and just make good decisions and realize at the end of the day, look, 24 points probably going to win you most football games. Maybe even just getting into the 20s is going to be enough. So protect that rock, win the turnover battle, and trust your defense, you know, when the game's on the line in the fourth quarter. And even against a quality team, that should probably be enough. Now, the thing that's having Bears fans salivate is, what if you have this dominant defense and Trubisky develops to be like a top-end quarterback? I'm not convinced that that quarterback's in there. Still a little issue with deep ball accuracy, and a lot of their success has been some gimmicky stuff. But, I mean, you know, think about it. In the NFL, you know, these teams, everybody's good, man, and success can be so fleeting. So if the window's open to win now, you know, who cares if Trubisky's young? Go do it. And I almost think maybe, Brian, that, like, he's not NFL wise enough to know that he shouldn't be winning these games. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are ahead of schedule, but that can almost be great because they don't know any better. And so on the right day, they could beat anybody right now. And I think they really believe that.
And I think one of the things, luckily, that Trubisky has is you can just be like, hey, you know what? Just check it down to Tariq Cohen and let him do the work.
Yeah, that's not bad. Isn't that guy incredible? You talk about a home run threat. And for a coach like Matt Nagy, who's so innovative and has so many different plays and wrinkles up his sleeve, and he's just, overflowing with ideas, deploying a guy like Tariq Cohen. And, you know, they went out. Look, that cupboard was barren last year. They had Tariq Cohen. They had Jordan Howard. They basically had nobody else to get the football to. They go out, they draft Anthony Miller, kid out of Memphis. It hit a little bit of the rookie wall the last few weeks, but he's got skills in the slot. They go out, they get Taylor Gabriel from Atlanta. They get Allen Robinson from Jacksonville coming off the ACL. They sign him to the big contract, which, you know, they were going to have to overpay to get a guy of his stature. I mean, he was one of the top three wideouts on the free agent market, even coming off the injury. But they went out, and then they got Trey Burton, who, of course, threw the Philly special in the Super Bowl, and he's been another nice weapon for him. They got another tight end, Adam Shaheen. So they got a lot of weapons there, but definitely Tariq Cohen is the flashiest. And good luck trying to tackle that guy. He's so small, Brian, he kind of gets lost in there, and it's hard for guys to track him down. And by the time you realize where he's at, like that, he's gone. Like he was Kaiser Soze or something.
His legs, it's like cartoon legs. It's you know, the cartoon legs where you can't see him because they're moving so fast. He's unreal in his ability to change directions and have the top end speed, which is rare. A lot of guys are quick in a short area but don't have that long speed, or they're super fast but they're sort of leggy and have a long stride to get that speed. And Tariq Cohen has both, and he can catch and he can run routes, and so such a weapon.
Absolutely. Nobody's ever accused me of being leggy. You know, I hope that would happen at some point. But, yeah, it's Tariq Cohen all the way, man. And I'll tell you, just knowing that Nagy's got more in store for us, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I think this is going to be a pretty good test for the Bears because, you know, this does have the potential to be a letdown game. I mean, you've just locked up the North. You've beaten the Packers. Everybody in the league saying, oh, you're on the come up. The city of Chicago is, you know, toasting the 2018 Matt Nagy Chicago Bears. And then now you got to travel to San Francisco, and it's going to, you know, not be the most, high profile game, shall we say. But the bottom line is you got something on the line still, because you're still playing for a first round bye. And, you got Khalil Mack in that defense. So I think that they still have plenty to play for, but it'll be good to see how a young team reacts with maybe what could be perceived as a bit of a, you know, trap game, kind of a letdown game.
So we got to talk a little 49ers as well, and you are well-versed in the 49ers doing the pre-games. Before we get to that, though, I got to ask you about, I looked at your profile because I wanted to see if there's anything missing from your bio that I wanted to mention on the show, you know, obviously being host of a KNBR tonight, but there was something on there, FIFA Goal Machine. What year FIFA are we talking about? Are you like up on every single one? Because I haven't played in a while, but if we're talking like mid-2000s FIFA, I think I got you.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, like anything else, Brian, be it fantasy football, golf, whatever, we'll just have to go figure it out sometime. We don't need to wonder. We could just figure it out. I'm a huge international soccer fan, a huge FIFA fan. I played Franny on the air a couple of weeks ago, beat him 3-0, no big deal.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Franzen, of course. I love FIFA. I've been buying it for years. You know, the older I get, I'm still a guy that enjoys a good video game or two. I don't get a chance to play as much as I used to, but I still try and get in maybe a game or two at night before bedtime, just knock out a couple of games. I'm a huge Liverpool fan, so I like playing with my boys. And, I am absolutely a self-proclaimed, of course, FIFA goal machine. But you can ask anybody that I've ever played against, they will attest to not only the goal machine aspect, but play a pretty nice defense too. I like locking that back end down and making sure you don't get a sniff.
Ryan Covey of KNBR tonight, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on your 680 a.m. dial. More with him right after this. So you mentioned fantasy football there, and we do play in a fantasy football league with another guy that my listeners know well in Nick Winkler called Oblong Balls. And and you always call me the champ every time I come on your show, and I thank you for that. But I have now been knocked off my pedestal as reigning champ, and Nick Winkler is the guy that did it in the semis. He's going on to the finals I was knocked out. You did not make the playoffs. Not to rub that in, but
No, I made the playoffs. I lost in round one.
Oh no, that's right. Yeah,
I made the playoffs.
That's right.
No, I won my division. Whoa! I think. Let history always remember that I made the playoffs with a team that had Le'Veon Bell as my first round pick and didn't play a down of football. And because I can't help myself, I had traded my second and third round picks the previous year for fifth and seventh round picks. So I did all that without a first, second, or third round pick on my roster. And I cut Pat Mahomes before week one. So I make all those things clear and still made the playoffs. So you can't sleep on burning sensation. And I believe on the route to the playoffs, beating you in a critical week, 13 matchup, I think it was, or 12 matchup, was critical to my playoff chances. So
you did, yeah.
We both ended up losing in the playoffs. We're the same thing.
You stepped on my shoulders to get your way into the playoffs, and so I'm glad I could be a part of that run. No, that was impressive. You're right. I don't want to sell you short. Your team came on strong at the end of the season. That's how you know you're a good fantasy owner, to not have any production from your first three picks, and you're still making the playoffs. So props to you on that.
To not have first three picks.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Basically, yeah. No, it's one that we'll long remember, Brian. No championship this year, but I was proud of the way the team played. And, you know, between me and you, I hope Nick Winkler doesn't win this week, because I think that would make him a two-time champ, and I like to be able to lord that over him. So I know he won it a couple years ago. I don't need him winning it again. I can promise you that. So it's the hair peas I think he's going against in the finals. Go hair peas.
Go hair peas. We don't need – yeah. And and if Nick tries to say anything to you, remind him about the Locked On 49ers Fantasy League. It was a deep one, 16-team deep. Winkler did not make the playoffs in that one. I am now going to the finals in that one. So just remind him of that if he asks you.
Absolutely. And, no, I do know about the league. I do listen to the podcast. Actually, it's great when I drive down to the stadium on Sunday mornings from Concord down to Santa Clara. I always throw on the Locked On podcast so I can pilfer your stats. But like any good broadcaster, any good journalist, I always give attribution.
Yes, so thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you for listening and joining me on the show. Okay, well, so let's talk about a little bit of 49ers here. Going down against the Bears this week, is there something that has impressed you about the 49ers run in the last couple of weeks? Maybe the Robert Saleh defense turnaround, or just the Nick Mullins show, has that been the funnest thing? Is there anything that you're really taking away from the last couple of weeks being like, man, this is like something right here?
Yeah, well, a few things for sure. The fact that the team's 7-1 in December under Kyle Shanahan, I mean, you know, they got to get off to better starts. We all understand that. But someday the hope is winning meaningful games in December leads to playing games in January. And yes, if he still got that locker room, despite the losing that they've done, the way that, you know, they hung in there and found a way to beat the Seahawks and end that long skid, I'm never a believer in tanking for a draft pick. You know, Clelin Ferrell's still out there. There's going to be a lot of good players. And bottom line is the draft is a very imperfect science anyway. So I categorically reject the suck for a draft pick premise. You win football games. That's what you're paid to do. And the fastest way to change the culture of a team and get these young guys, because I've heard one side of it, hey, you know, half these guys won't be here next year. Well, you know who will be there? Mike McGlinchey, Dante Pettis, Fred Warner, all these guys that are – Matt Breida, guys that are going to be around that, for the long haul, and learning how to win now is absolutely critical. I've been impressed with Dante Pettis. I think while he might not be he might not have the chops of, say, like, you know, a top-end guy like a Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't think he has that body type. For a guy that relies primarily on speed, he actually runs really crisp routes, because we see a lot of times the speedsters, they just want to run those nines and just find a way to get free of that defender and just go and use their legs and outrun them. Dante Pettis can do that, but his route running is pretty crisp for a guy at this point in his career. So by making those solid cuts and by using his agility in concert with his speed, he can get open, and he can get open a lot. So I think his ceiling is really high. And then, I mean, come on, George Kittle, are you kidding me? Like, what this guy's been able to do. And as much as 49ers fans in the football world laments the Solomon Thomas pick and the way some of this stuff has gone with some of the draft picks, first of all, this year's draft class looking pretty productive so far. And then a guy like George Kittle coming out of the class last year, you know, Akilla Witherspoon, I know he got nicked up last week, but he's been showing some signs of progression. I think Eric Armstead has played some of his best football lately. I mean, come on, DeForest Buckner getting 11 sacks from the interior of the defensive line, being an alternate for the Pro Bowl. That's a great story. The fact that they've been able to keep the running game together, now on their like fourth and fifth string running backs. I mean, they lose Mostert, they lose McKinnon, they lose everybody. Breida's been hurt all year. and they're still getting production there. I think the old line's been great. Mike McGlinchey, can't tell me he's not a solid rookie. I'm liking that pick a little bit right now. So, yeah, there's plenty to be excited about. Of course, I mean, we all know, get this team an edge rusher. You'll see on Sunday, 49ers fans, the guy that got picked ahead of DeForest Buckner for the Pro Bowl was Akeem Hicks. And I know a lot of fans just looked at the stat page and they said, well, wait a minute. DeForest Buckner's numbers are better than this guy. And you're absolutely right. Akeem Hicks commands a double team every time. And you know who DeForest Buckner doesn't have better stats than? Khalil Mack. And Khalil Mack has been allowed to terrorize defenses because a lot of what Akeem Hicks is able to do in that front, commanding so much attention. So absolutely, there's a lot to be positive about if you're a 49er fan. This Sunday will be a good test for him. But, hey, you know, the fact that guys are still believing in Kyle Shanahan, I think, is the most noteworthy part. They're still playing for him. You saw what that win to him meant on Sunday. I mean, the guys were cheering and celebrating. That must have felt great for him. Winning's fun.
Yeah, that's been one of the most impressive things. 2 years straight now with a lot of losses piling up. And you've seen some other teams that are good football teams that are crumbling right now. We've got teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Giants. We saw it last year. I mean, that team crumbled completely. And the 49ers aren't doing that. So that's promising. They've got some young players. They got to add some more of that talent. But, yeah, you're right. Like, to have that much production and put that much weight on the young players when they do get that top heavy talent in this offseason, whether it's, you know, free agency, draft, both, and put that all together, you get Garoppolo back. I think it's a promising future for the 49ers. One quick question here before I let you go, Ryan. You're going to have the parabolic mics on the sideline. When you're doing that, what's the most impressive thing that you see? Is it the speed of the game? Is it like that guy who runs a 4.3 and you're up close to it? Or is it the size? Is it just like the, oh my God, self-preservation, like this dude could murder me, I got to get out of the way? Like, what's going through your mind? What's the most impressive factor of being right there on the sideline?
Well, I got to tell you, and I'm talking about this like I'm an accepting an award for doing it, but I got to tell you, the whole part is incredible. For what I really notice is the speed. These guys, I mean, and I'm sure lots of folks have, you know, sat up close before at a game, but being at eye level and just watching, you know, just being a couple of feet away from somebody moving that fast, it's incredible. And last year I did the parabolic for the Seahawks 49ers game, Jimmy G's debut. And of course the 49ers were going against Russell Wilson that day. And, you know, just watching Russell Wilson do his little pirouette and get away from the pass rush and seeing, you know, him being undersized and kind of like Tariq Cohen, guys, you know, not being able to kind of track him down in that sea of man. And watching him escape and still throw the football down the field, incredible. But these guys are all big and they're athletic and they're all that. But I it's definitely how fast they are. And the game only gets faster. And, you know, they say the one rule that they give us as Parab guys is if the play is coming towards you, do the side-to-side, do the ole. Don't do the backup because they're coming faster than you can back up. Of course, that's a fact. So if you think you can back up in time to get out of their way, you can't. The best is get left to right and just try and get the heck out of the way. And they actually updated the parabolic mics. They got parabolic mics that kind of break away a little easier so you don't get, like, trucked with that thing and crush the microphone, which, you know, every now and again those videos surface of the Parab guy just getting toasted. And you notice the players, like, never hold, like, help them up or anything. You just get knocked over. You're, like, on your back like a tortoise. Because a lot of times that thing is strapped to the front of you and, like, you're just thinking, like, what the hell just happened to me? Somebody get me up. So I'm determined not to let that happen to me. And obviously that can't happen to Pops. But growing up a Bears fan, sitting on his lap watching those games and getting to be on the field for him, with him, doing that's going to be a real treat for me on Sunday. So looking forward to that. And, hey, if you're coming out to the game, I'll be out at Faithful Mile before the game. Come say hello. And this should be a lot of fun, man. Bears Niners, always a good time.
That is Ryan Covey. Check into that pregame show. Find him at the Faithful Mile or try to find him on the broadcast and watch that fancy footwork as he's working the Prabs on the sideline. Ryan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, Brian, happy holidays to you and your whole family. I know this is the first Christmas with your new, you know, total family. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So hope Leo has a great Christmas. And yeah, all the Locked On 49ers podcast listeners, same thing. And again, we appreciate you coming on KNBR. You're always good to us. And this is where I come to get my 49ers news, no doubt.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. And tell your pops the same.
No doubt. All right. Thanks, brother.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Ryan for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back next week with a rapid react on Monday, then an abbreviated week. I'll try to have three shows next week, but definitely not doing one on Christmas Day. And I'll be traveling and visiting the family and taking little Leo on tour to see a lot of people in the family that are excited to hang out with the young little baby boy. So I'm going to be able to do some shows. Definitely won't be a full week, but I'll have some content for you next week on Locked On 49ers. And I'll also be announcing the official 1 million listener contest, or not really contest, just a draw, a giveaway. And I'll let you guys know how to do that. And I'll have a nice thread on Twitter where people can enter and show me how they listen to the podcast. And because I want people who listen to the podcast to be the ones who win that jersey giveaway. So I'll be giving away a jersey, and I'll probably hit 1 million right about Christmas Day or so. And I'll definitely let everybody know what's going on with that, and get that jersey out to somebody very early in the new year to celebrate. Probably Christmas Day is about the time it will hit officially 1 million. Then we'll all celebrate. So thank you so much, everybody who has been listening all year. And I'll be back on Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.